We do have Alexis. Where's Alexis? Saw her this morning. Where'd she go? Here you go. Come on. There's your baptismal certificate. Yep. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So we'll do this baptism next week. So we'll do that next week. So it's good to be here in the house of the Lord today. I did just want to remind you real quick before I jump into preaching. We do, there's these monthly partnerships for the ministries. This box will be taken away after this week. If you want to partner financially just monthly for the ministries, just fill out one of these cards. You can get one back there. You can see Scott, or you can get one out there on the table. And then if you also want to give whenever you want to give anything to the ministries, just put it in one of these envelopes. It really helps the people who count to keep the money separate. So they do use two different bank accounts. So, and if you've already signed up to be a monthly donor, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And it takes money to run ministries. This does. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we'll be in 1 Peter today. I want to share with you today that it's sometimes being a Christian, living in the world here, sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes we have these days where we're just dredging, we're struggling, and Peter here has written to this is not just a letter to a specific church, but it's for all out there. So he has a big area where this letter went, and it was to encourage Christians to be reminded what they have, how they're supposed to live, what God has for them. And so we see here that this is what we have. And Peter here, we're going to start here in chapter 1, and knowing that our walk with the Lord, if you have a relationship with the Lord, the genuine relationship with the Lord is an amazing peace. But again, it does sometimes comes with hard times. It comes up with some tough times, and there's seasons when we struggle. There's seasons when we're like, man, I'm just not feeling God. I'm not feeling His Spirit. There's seasons where we're like, I'm just struggling reading His Word. There's seasons where we just like, man, you just feel kind of like you don't have a lot of energy in your spiritual side. And it's hard sometimes. And so I think there's an encouragement here that Peter begins. But it's also can be hard at times because Peter's sometimes can his teachings can be hard in some sense, very demanding in the scriptures. But we're going to look at these scriptures here today in 1 Peter. And as we go, I just want to pray really quick. Father, Lord, we just ask for your presence today, as we know that we've already asked that. But we ask, Lord, here in your word that you would just open up our minds, our spirit, our spiritual ears that we may hear it. And Lord, our spiritual heart that may receive it. And our spiritual mind, Lord, that would decipher it through your spirit. That we may grow in our walk with you today. In Christ's name, amen. So here we see Peter writes here in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So here Peter comes out very strongly and begins this piece, "because of His great mercy." I want to remind you that you didn't come to Christ because you thought you were ready, because you were looking for Him. There are seekers that look for Him, but really, God's already doing the work, drawing men and women to Himself. So it is God's mercy really is really big for us. For the life that we've lived outside of Christ, the life that we lived before Christ, when we come to Christ, He receives you just as you are, but He loves you enough not to leave you there. He continues to work, drawing you to be more like His Son Christ. And so we see that there's a great mercy with God that He has given to us. The salvation that we received was definitely not because we were good, because we've done great things. Really, His mercy is because He had mercy on us because we are sinners. We are all sinners, saved by grace. And here it is. The mercy of God is really, it's a real thing. And so it is not just a mercy. It is a great mercy. So God has a great mercy. But He also says this, that He has given us new birth. We have a new birth in Christ. When we come to Christ, we have a new birth. I want to share that piece here in John 6:44. It says, "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we know that God draws people to Christ, but we also know Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Or the scriptures will say in King James, whosoever. So this is not a piece where, God picks and chooses, you're going to be saved, you're not going to be saved, you're going to be saved, you're not going to be saved. No, he draws men and women to himself, but then scripture also says, for whosoever will. So there is a piece there that we have free will to come to receive Christ. And sometimes some of us know that we bucked God for a long time. We fought against God a long time. And we see some people here today are still bucking God. They're still trying to do it their way. And I'm going to ask you, is it working for you? If your way was working, we would not have as many messes as we have in our life. And God has a way, but we continue to rebel against God. But because of his great mercy, he offers this new birth. And he says that if you are a believer, you have a new birth. You had that new birth. I do want to share something here in John chapter 3. I want to share this piece with Nicodemus. This Pharisee had snuck over and wanted to talk to Jesus about this whole thing. And just a really quick piece of it, Jesus' answer, he replies to Nicodemus. He says this in John 3, verse 3. And Jesus replied, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's not my words, that is the Bible words, and those words are in red. It's funny how we as people think that our words are more important than God's word, or our opinions, or our thoughts. But here we find it. There's nothing that you can change about that piece. It says, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But then he asks, how can anyone be born when he is old? And Nicodemus asked him, can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Because he's thinking it's about a fleshly being born again. And we know that we can't be born again twice. We're born once in the flesh. And then Jesus says, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so it's like, wow, we have to be of water and of Spirit. But let's see what 6 says. 6 says this, whatever is born of flesh is flesh, right? That's a fleshly birth. Whatever is born is the flesh, the scripture explains it itself. And whatever is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. So we've all been born a fleshly birth. And Nicodemus says, can we be born again? No, you cannot be born. Jesus says, no, but you're born of the flesh, but you're also, there's a part of being born of the Spirit is the Spirit. So he says here, Peter says back here, that he has given us a new birth. It is a spiritual birth. It is a spiritual birth. And we need that to get into heaven. We need Christ to get us into heaven. But it also says, not just on his mercy, but also on this new birth, that is also a living hope. It is a living hope. This is where your faith has to ignite. So it says, unto a living hope, walking around always knowing and hoping, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But also a part of those three is hope. Our hope is, and our salvation is, it is there. We hope for the longing of to be in heaven with Christ and those who preceded us in death who know Christ as well. So we have a living hope. We walk around as a hope, but the world doesn't want it. The world wants to push us away, because if they would receive and you receive the hope, then the sins that you commit, you'll begin to feel that conviction. And that conviction is not because of your own conscience, but it's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. So we need to know that there is conviction from the Holy Spirit as we live in this living hope. That's why when you do something and you sin, you do something wrong, there's something that tells you, you feel that it is wrong. There is a conscience side of us that we all have that God gives to us, but there's also a more powerful piece, and that is the Holy Spirit. This is why the world says, hey, I don't feel bad about that. But it seems like this Holy Spirit will say, no, that's not what I want. The Holy Spirit convicts us of doing that. When it comes to your conscience, all of us have different ideas on it. All of us has a different conscience. We think that certain things are wrong. Some people think it's okay. Other people think it's okay. Other people say, no, it's not okay. But the Holy Spirit will never conflict. It will never go against its own self. And what's wrong is wrong. And it will convict you for living that way. That's why we struggle or doing the things that we do. But we are living a hope out in our life through what? It all comes down to the power of the cross, but it's really the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. And it says here, living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what this whole New Testament is about. Salvation has come to the world, even to Gentiles. Jesus died on the cross, and not just died on the cross for the forgiveness of sin for all, but also resurrected with the power because he had no sin in his life. And death could not hold him. So he was the first of the resurrected from the dead. And God has given him all the power here. And it says in verse 5, you are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So here he says now that you are being guarded by God's power. I don't think we understand that. That's a really deep piece. But I want to remind you that if you are a believer in Christ, God guards you. Doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. Christians get cancer, non-Christian gets cancer. Non-Christian has a heart attack, Christians get a heart attack. But here it is, we're always thinking in the flesh. God is always, as more important, it is about the spiritual, because the flesh was here and it's gone tomorrow. We may have 60, 70, 80, maybe you might have 100 years on this, but your life is coming to an end. But the spiritual world, the spiritual part of you is eternal. Whether you'll be separated from God or you're going to be with God through Christ. And so here he says, it is a piece of being guarded by God's power. And here he goes. I kind of skipped over a verse here, but it's important. Verse 4. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And there is an inheritance that we all will receive. We already have it. We just don't know. We just don't have it right now. But we do have it right now. We have it in the Spirit, but we don't have it here now. And when we get to heaven, we will have all that Jesus, all the Word tells us, all the Bible that tells us that we will have. There's an inheritance. For an inheritance, someone has... So an inheritance, usually when someone dies, there's a will, the person gets on there, and so they get whatever's left after everybody, it's all said and done, then people walk away and use it however they want to. But in the end, that person ends up dying as well, and that stuff ends up running out, rusting, falling apart, or it's all spent, whatever it may be. But what God has is eternal, it's everlasting. It is everlasting. So it is an inheritance that's given to us. Why? Because Jesus Christ died, but also resurrected. And do we believe in what God's Word says? Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believe in all that the Bible has to say about that. And I believe in His birth, burial, and resurrection. I receive, know that I'm a sinner and receive that salvation by praying to God, giving my life to Him as He gave His life to me. Having that salvation, part of having the inheritance from God that is imperishable, is undefiled. It is a perfect inheritance. It will last forever. These promises are eternal. We have that. This is why you hear people that are older say, I'm ready for Him to come. I'm ready to go. They're ready for their inheritance. They're ready to go. They're tired of this world. They pulled all the cords. They pushed all the buttons in life, and they're done. And you find people, sometimes people get weary of this world. They get weary of it. They're ready to go see the Lord. They're ready to leave this world and go into that, to the next world, which is eternal life. And for a believer, it is with Christ. So this is imperishable and it's undefiled. It's perfect. There's nothing bad about it. And it's unfading. And it's kept in heaven for you. The Scripture says it's kept in heaven for you, waiting for you when your time is to get there. Isn't it amazing that God's mercy is very rich and very awesome? You have more than what you ever would ever dream of having here. This world has nothing. I don't care if you looked at the Taj Mahal, which is the most expensive gift ever given. It doesn't matter. What you have on this earth, really, what you have on this earth, you're responsible for while you have it. But nothing compares to what God has for you. But we struggle as Christians because our eyes are always on the physical. What's in front of me? What's in my hand? What's in my bank account? What's in those things? We need to pay attention to those things. But we need to know in the Spirit that we have so much more than that. And God's interested in it, and you living for Him in a way that you know life is a gift. And then that's where He says, I'm guarding you. He says, you're being guarded by God's power. Wow. Through what? Through faith for salvation. I'm going to say something hard. It's the way it is. If you don't have Christ today when you die, you're going to be separated from God. You don't have salvation. You have nothing to stand on. You'll stand on your own feet, but you'll drop because you have no, there's no power in you. There's no power in your strength. There's no power in your life. There's no power in you at all. You're just dead. You're a dead person walking. You're like a zombie. And when you breathe your last breath, the demonic powers are there. They're ready just to drag that person straight to hell. That's just the way it is. And no one wants to talk about it, but that's all. You can read it all through Scripture. We want to talk about get your best life now. Get yours now. You go out and find what you need to do. Get the best for you. Get yourself. Get your riches here. Live it loud. Live it loud. Yes, I can do all things through Christ. And they'll use one little verse and they'll throw all that stuff out there to entice you to run to the ways of the world and get rich, whatever it may be. And God's saying it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. Because it's not about the riches. It's not about all the prosperity. When it comes right down to it, what is the gospel really about? The gospel is about a soul, a person making a decision, a real eternal decision. More important really than who you marry. It's more important than what you do in this world. It's the most important question, most important decision you ever make in your whole life. Because it lasts forever. And it is important. And so here he says that power is through faith and salvation. It is there, revealed in the last time. Here it is. And then we're in the last days. Scripture says that. People say, oh, it's been saying that. Listen, 10,000 years is nothing compared to eternity. And even if the Lord would wait and tarry on for 50,000 years, it's nothing compared to eternity. Eternity has no end. 50,000, it is a number, and it's a big number. But it has an end. It has an end. But eternal life has no end. It always keeps going. But he says this in verse 6, you rejoice in this. I'm telling you, I rejoice in what I have in Christ. I hope you rejoice what you have in Christ. I rejoice in the salvation, knowing that my salvation is solid because it's in the one who is solid. It is in Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. That's the salvation that you have. You need to know what you have and you need to rejoice in it. You need to rejoice in the inheritance that God has for you. You need to rejoice in it. I've never seen so many Christians be so gloom and doom. So many Christians being discouraged. So many Christians in depression, so many Christians, because they're trying to live a spiritual life in a worldly life, not using the spiritual things that God has given to them to make it through in a worldly, fleshly life. Still trying to live it in the fleshly way, you won't make it. You're not making it. It's not working. It's not working. It's not working. It's not working. But we will still keep doing what we think we ought to be doing because we think we're so smart. Let me tell you something. Our IQ is not as great as you think it is. And even when they ask this whole thing about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was arrested. He was in prison. He had a moment there wanting really to know, was Jesus the one? We all have moments. Amen. We all struggle with our faith sometimes. We struggle. John the Baptist was struggling a little bit. He's doing all these things for God. He had a moment there where he's like, yeah, I have to, you know, Jesus needs to increase. I need to decrease. But he didn't realize really what he knew what he was saying, but that decrease means you're going to prison. He ended up going to prison. And he sent his disciples out just to ask Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one we were to expect? And he knew that, but sometimes sometimes things just come out. We get discouraged sometimes. And his disciples go and they find Jesus teaching in a short inn. they turn around and they see that Jesus is talking about John the Baptist. And he says, he's like the greatest guy that's ever walked. The greatest guy. But compared to heaven, even the lowest in heaven, Jesus says, is greater than him. Why do I say that? Because what we think is great, and it is great, when it comes and compares to heaven, it's pretty low on the totem pole. Even the lowest in heaven is greater than anyone walking on the face of the earth in fleshly form. Even the greatest preacher, even the greatest preachers, even the greatest church, it doesn't matter that the lowest when it comes to things in heaven. So that means what we have to remember is the things here on earth, we have to do what we got to do, but don't put all your stock in that. Put your stock in the spiritual part. He says, rejoice in that. Even though, here we go, that now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, and it continues to go, and I'll finish that up. But here it is. What happens is there are going to be times that we're going to go through some problems as believers. Even as a church, we're going to go through problems. We're going to have some issues in our personal lives and also in the church. There's times when our church, our ministry side, is very low on funding. You don't know about it. You might hear about it. I ask if you hear about it, you need to pray about it. You need to pray that God will continue to provide. God calls us to do a great thing here in this community, and we still continue to do it. But there are times that God chooses to we go through various trials, and sometimes God allows us to go through these things. And it seems like we hear about other nonprofits with the six figures in the bank. We see that, you know, they're doing great. They're doing this and that. But New Life ends up struggling at times. And we end up struggling in the point that we get down to say, hey, we only have like a week left of finances to keep these ministries going. And so what happens is God, could God just drop a bunch of funds here? Yes, he could. But what really is going on here? Sometimes people may think, oh, the first instance when I share with people is, oh, you need to app your fundraising team. Oh, you need to make this adjustment. You need to make that adjustment. And sometimes we make adjustments, but I want to remind you, the first thing is, I always want to go to the Lord in prayer. Because the people that are talking to me, they're limited, one, on knowledge, and God is not. Number two, whoever and whatever he's telling me, they're telling me to go find funding, they are limited too, but God is not. And we're not doing this because we think it's great for the community. Although it is good for the community, we're doing it because the Lord told us to in 2005-6 to do it. So here it is. God can do it, but God, what? But so here it is. Why does he allow us to go through those moments? Why does he allow you to go through hardships when your cars break down, your health ain't great, and you're going through that? God allows those moments to happen, and so you suffer grief, and you're like, I don't understand why God doesn't love me. Listen, God does love you. Never say God doesn't love you when you're going through a hard time. He loves you. And I want to say, God loves me more than Carla could ever love me. And God loves Carla more than I could ever love her. That's something that's hard to fathom. But the closer we draw to God, the more we live our life for Christ, the more we begin to realize that, yes, he does love me more. And we still don't understand it. But here's what he says. Sometimes we suffer grief and we suffer these hard times. But it's to prove our character, our proven character through our faith. Really, when we get in those hard times, really, we're going to find out what we're made of, basically what it is. What are we made of? Am I going to run to everybody in the world? Now, I want you to look at me for a minute. There are counselors in the world that are okay. And doctors are great too. But we continue to run to the world for the answers that sometimes God has right in front of you. But because we keep choosing to run to the world for the answers, we want a quick fix. We don't like the pain and suffering. We don't like the trials. Listen, all right, let me ask you this. Are you giving your best for the Lord right now in your life? Are you giving your best to God right now? And even if you are, you could still be going through those trials. But he allows those trials to go through to prove your character and your faith. But you make it through because of your character and your faith in Christ. And then he says, it's more valuable. Your proven character and your faith is more valuable than gold. What? We always want the funding. We always want the money. But let me tell you something. There's something that New Life Fellowship has. And we are rich in faith. Folks, there is no number. I'm not boasting and bragging. I'll get to that in a minute. We have a faith that is so huge. It sounds like I'm kind of bragging here, but I want to explain to you. The faith that here, because there's no way to do what we're doing without faith. No way. No way. But you don't get faith. You don't get faith by not going through times of struggles and trials and tribulations. No, you gain faith when you go through trials, troubles, and tribulations and heartache, and you don't have what you think that you need to have, or you don't have what you need to have, and God shows up in a moment to show and to remind you that He is in charge and He takes care of that. And the thing you know, that your faith has just grown and you get to do something. Then it goes like this. Your faith is more valuable than gold, which though is perishable. Right now you get all the, I see sometimes on my phone or whatever, hey, well, the country's going down. We're all going down. The whole financial system's going to crash. You need to invest in gold. You need to invest in gold. You need to invest in gold. And gold's always been there, but it is also perishable. There will be a day that gold will not be worth anything. People's bank accounts will not mean a thing. And in the end times, when people are running around looking for food, that money is not going to mean a thing, because in that moment, you're going to need a mark. Not money. Money will not buy anything in the last days. There'll be a mark of the beast. And the person will need to have the mark of the beast, which scares people to death. Doesn't scare me. Because the Bible says that I've been sealed to the day of redemption. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you've also, if you have Christ, you've been sealed to the day of redemption. It also says in 1 John that no one can pluck you out of Jesus' hand. No one can. Don't fear what the world will fear. And then he says this, even though your faith has been proven through all these hardships, he says, more valuable than gold, which though is perishable, is refined by fire. Here it is. Why go through all that? Why go through those things? Why is the faith going through those things? Why are we going through those things? And then our faith has to be ignited. Here it is. So that it may result in praise. Praise, so that we can say we're great? Nope. So we can say that He's great. So I can say it wasn't because of your bank account, it's because of all that He owns. And did you know He owns your bank account? Did you know He owns all the money in Russia? And they would laugh at me right now. In China, North Korea, that's so hard. Listen, God owns it all. The world is just in rebellion. But it's for praise, so that we can praise Him. So there's times coming down here praying, Lord, we don't have what we need. We got these bills that are due. We got this that's due. We got to redo this. We got to redo that. We need the funding for this and that. And then you pray through it, and you pray through it. And sometimes certain things you just got to keep praying year after year after year, so that when you finally it happens, you can praise Him. And that praise should be super loud, which we have a problem celebrating here. Some of it's probably on me. I don't celebrate well. But we need to be praising. You need to be praising what God is going on in your life, because He's doing a whole lot more than you think He is. And He's working it. And He wants to be praised through that. And then it also says that it may result in glory. God gets the glory for it all. God gets the glory for it all. We thank the people that donate, but we don't praise the people that we donate. We thank the people that donate, but we don't give glory to the people that donate. Only one is worthy of praise. Only one is worthy of glory, and that is Jesus Christ. And then it says also, not just in praise and glory, and honor. And honor. We give honor, all of that. And there'll be a great piece of doing that, that it may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not only do we do it when we're here, but when we get collectively into heaven, we get before the Lord, we will give Him a great praise together, and also we'll give Him glory, and we'll give Him honor in that way. As what God gives to us, we will cast back to Him, because we will feel We are unworthy, and He has been so, so good to us. And then He goes on. This is when you know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. Some of us have a great relationship with the Lord. I want to tell you, when I'm going to read this, I don't want you to think that you're not saved. But I also want to say that wherever you are with the Lord, you need to be able to admit today that God doesn't need to do better. I need to do better. Here's what He says. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. How do you love someone that you have never seen? Because He's on the inside every day in the Holy Spirit. As your heart pumps and that blood's flowing, He's there. Live. Living. Holy Spirit's living inside of you. All those times you went through trials and tribulations, the world will say, oh, this did that. But you say, no, the Lord came to me in a moment of need. My moments and times of need. In the times when I was praying over my children when they were in their baby beds or in their room and I knew they were struggling, and you walked by as a man of the house, or you walked by as the mom of the children, you walked by and you said, Lord, I know that they're being tempted, but I just want to praise you tonight, and just pray. I just ask you to cover my children. How many of y'all done that and did it year after year, time after time, over and over? Listen, when you do those things, I want to tell you, He's there, and you fall in love with Him and you see that He's there, and His Holy Spirit convicts and moves with you. And there's moments when you want to pray for your family or pray for your spouse, and you notice that you begin to pray, but it all of a sudden that prayer becomes twisted and it becomes changed, and you're praying about other things and other people. That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, moaning and groaning, saying, listen, this is what you need to be talking about. This is what we need to be praying about, not just things in your own life. And you begin to do that so you can say that I have not seen Him, but I love Him. And I love Him for all that He's done for me. All the times He's been there for me. We love Him. Peter says, listen, He has seen Him, but He's writing a letter to others and saying, although you have not seen Him, and there's a part of a piece that you got to remember, that Peter was the one that denied Jesus face to face, yet he's sitting there saying, although you haven't seen Him, there's a part here he's saying, hey, I've seen Him, but I denied Him. But I know. When I ask for forgiveness, He forgives, and He forgave me of that. And Peter says, you love Him. You love Him. And then it says, though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him. That's your faith. I don't see Him now, but I know through the Word that I'm going to see Him. I'm going to see Him. And you know this all out of faith. And it's not just a thought. It's a real deal for you, because your hope in knowing that the Scriptures are true. You believe in Him. You believe in Him. And then He says, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. Listen, sometimes I don't even know how sometimes you don't even know how to talk to God. You don't even know how to thank God, because you say, I thank you, Lord. But I don't know what else to say. Because it's so big. He's so big. He's so huge. He's been there. He's flawless. And we don't understand how He keeps dealing with us who are sinful, and we are at fault in a lot that we do. Yet we understand and know that the mercies have not just been on you or you or you or you, but it's been on all those who received Him. Listen, there is no bigger fan than Jesus for your own life. He is your coach, your manager. You give Him your life. He's your owner, but He's also your greatest fan. He's your greatest encourager. And those that understand that say, you know what, I rejoice, but I don't know really how to say thank you. So the best way you can really do it is live a life that God's called you to live, and live it obediently by the Word of God. That's how you'll honor Him. That's how you'll praise Him. That's how you'll give Him glory, by living out and being obedient to God. And all this goes on. You go, man, we got so much. And the Scripture goes on and says, now because you know this, be holy. Be holy because He is holy. Because He set us apart from those who are lost. And we become holy, not because we're holy on our own, but because we're holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. And all this is going on with our salvation. All this is going on in our walk with the Lord. And then there's this really weird piece toward the end. You know, somebody's always watching you. Something's always watching you. Scripture says that God's eyes are always on us. Always on us. There's something going on in the spiritual world we don't quite understand. That's what it says. It's the very end of verse 12. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. They do not understand salvation. The heaven worshiping perfect God, their creator. They don't have a faith because they don't see. They see him. And they don't understand how we do what we do. And the whole thing about Jesus coming and leaving heaven and coming here and dying, living amongst us and dying and resurrecting and all that. And when the demons thought they had him, death had him, they couldn't hold him because he was sinless. He did all that God had called him to do. And we have all these things. We have this hope. We have this glory. Our faith continues to be challenged at times. And we grow through those moments of hardships. And these angels look at it and say, wow, they're going to have an inheritance in heaven. They're going to have all that. They're going to come where we are. And they don't understand that. And also it says this in Luke 15:10. It says, I tell you, in the same way, Jesus says, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. They don't understand it. They're serving God. They don't understand what we're doing. It's because we have a faith in one that we don't see, but we believe by our heart and our spirit that all God is, all He is true. Wow. And it comes back up to the beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of His great mercy and the new birth. I'm walking out of here today rejuvenated because I know God's Word tells me once again that I have salvation in Jesus Christ. That there's a resurrection. That because of His resurrection, I'm also going to be resurrected. That I have an inheritance today. I have an inheritance that's written up in heaven in glory. That it's there. It's there waiting for me. It's waiting there for you. I also know that it says that God guards those who believe. He is guarding us. And also, I'm reminded today that my hardships are not over until I reach, you know, in death. Death is not a bad thing. But we cling to it so hard. All that we go through, hardships, sufferings, and pains. And the world is running around trying to figure it out. Trying this, trying that, trying that. And something good happens to them, they go out and party, they do whatever they do. But we take a moment, and we take it, and we praise God. We give Him glory. Trying to live the next life as God wants us to live. Going the next day. Trying to live out the life that God's called us to live. Listen, if you're sitting there taking your salvation for granted, then you will lose the joy of your salvation. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you're trying to live a double life, you will lose the joy of your salvation. I don't understand all God's plans. I don't understand all of His Word. But I think He designed that to be that we would continue to lean and cling to Him and have a hunger for Him. But I know this, folks. Man, He's pretty faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He loves me when I don't want to love myself. I bet He loves you when you don't want to love yourself. And that sin you commit, that stuff you do that you shouldn't be doing, He knows all about it. He wants to deal with it. but you need to deal with it too. Because it's hard to praise Him, hard to give Him glory when we're living in sin. We have unconfessed sin. For you today that know Jesus and you say, you know what, although I have not seen Him, I love Him. You know exactly what I'm talking about today. Yeah, you want to live your life here. There's nothing wrong. Life is a gift. But you also, there's a part of you that longs to be with Him. Fathers, we know today that Your Word is always true. But Your Word also says there are ears that do not hear and eyes that do not see. I pray today that there have been ears that have heard today Your Word, a drawing of what Your Spirit, only Your Spirit can do. And I pray, Father, today that there's been some that had their ears, their eyes were open as well, that they might see what You have for them to see today. I pray for the moment that You're giving us this morning, that we can get our hearts right with You and our lives right with You, that we may once again feel the joy of our salvation and the joy of what it feels to have that hunger for You. And we ask it and glorify You with it in Jesus' name. Amen.